Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On first and 10 from the 25, play action fake, rolling to his right as Tannehill throws it downfield and has a receiver. It is Kenny Stills out of bounds, and the first down. Tannehill gets the rust off right away. First and goal, Dolphins trail by 7, 1:56 left to play. Buddy Howell, the running back. Petty to the corner, 4, touchdown Miami. Dolphins will go for 2 here with 1:50 left to play, trailing by 1. Buddy Howell, the running back. Bryce Petty, the quarterback, out of the shotgun. Receivers flanked to his right. Petty floats it to the corner of the end zone. It's good. Isaiah Ford again to the Dolphins. Have their first lead of the football game. Miami leads it right now 24-23. Hold is down, kick is up, and it is good. So the Bucs come back and lead it 26-24 with 23 seconds remaining. And the Bucs take a knee, and that'll do it. The final score, the Tampa Bay Bucs 26, the Miami Dolphins 24.
I like the energy. I like the focus that we had, you know, leading up to the game. I thought, you know, before we even got out there, guys were wired in. They were ready to go. And then when we got out there, there was a lot of good execution. There were some things that we had to work on. You know, we were really shooting to get, you know, have zero pre-snap penalties. You know, we fell short of that. You know, just putting the ball on the ground, you know, that's something that we just have to make sure that we don't do. You know, I mean, at first glance, you see, you know, Blaj go, you know, over top of the guy, but, you know, we lose the ball. So we just, you know, that's a young kid trying to make a big play and, you know, making a mistake, and he'll learn from that and he'll get better from it.
Well, a good Friday morning to everybody, especially everybody that stayed up late and trying to figure out late in that preseason game. If you watched it on CBS4 or listened here at 560 WQAM, Zach, there are probably people going, who are these guys? Anyway,
yeah, you get late into that game, that's what happens.
A lot of guys got a lot of playing time, so it's good. And you saw just what you expect when you step back. You see the good, you see the bad, you see the ugly, you see the lost, you see a little bit of everything. So we'll get into all of it this morning. A lot of great stories. Actually, a lot of guys coming back from injury in the National Football League. Rookies, we'll get you caught up on everything around the NFL from last night, as we had 12 games, 24 teams played.
Nice, yeah.
You can be a junkie. There's a couple for you tonight, which I won't count. There is no shot that I'm going to see any preseason football.
Falcons-Jets? You want to do that tonight?
Well, no.
Lions-Raiders?
And listen, I would like to see the Jets a little bit. I'd like to see how
Sam Darnold.
Like to see how he looks.
Yeah.
So, but there is no shot tonight or Saturday night.
Vikings Broncos Saturday, and Chargers Cardinals.
All right, I mean they're
Vikings. Are you going to see a little Kirk Cousins versus Case Keenum in that game?
Yeah,
Chargers Cardinals.
I'm probably
maybe some Josh Rosen.
I'm going to have to skip. I did it. I went all
the late games too. By
all junkie at Hard Rock as that game went on last night and everything. Hey, real quickly as we jump into this. So was it pretty much when you step back on okay? It was that. That's what a preseason game.
Game
looks
one
like.
Of the preseason. I wasn't expecting fireworks. I was expecting and hoping that everybody came out with no injuries.
That's one.
Okay.
By the way, that's a good first one.
Yeah. Like nothing. Like Mike Hull. That was the one injury last night that you saw. You don't want to see that.
That's a guy who's on your 53-man roster.
But yeah.
He was a slam
back up, and he's gonna play on special teams.
Yep.
Yeah. I wanted to see Ryan out there. We saw Ryan. I wanted to see him a little bit longer, but I'm not going to be a pig about it because it's only game one of the preseason. That's fine. First team offense, okay. Nothing terrible, nothing great, nothing crazy there. I was fine with it. I really was focusing on Ryan. More than anything, I was focusing on Ryan. How would he look out there? Is he going to get hit by someone else on another team that's not allowed to just touch him two-hand touch like in practice? I wanted to see if that would happen. I wanted to see some of the plays from the wide receivers. Amendola, I wanted to see if he was going to be out there or do whatever. I was happy last night. I wasn't happy with anything backup quarterback-wise. That was another story. That storyline going into the game, there was no backup quarterback last night. That after the game, I went, "That's our guy. That's it. Well, there's your backup."
That will be an interesting one to watch down the road. I thought David Fells was the second best guy, except for Petty's last drive. And
yeah, well, I mean, that's I'm bringing that up with a smirk on my face because Petty played against literally the 89, 90, and 90th guy on rosters, and he looked like the backup quarterback last night.
He marched right down the field. By the way, that I thought that was kind of weird, like. When I'm sitting there going, okay, so the very last drive you've been going back and forth. You know, just when I think I got Adam Gase figured out, he threw me a little change up last night, so he's going back and forth throughout the game. So I'm thinking, okay, Petty doesn't look like he's going to play. You get down the end of the game, and you're going, well, Osweiler went last drive. It's Fells' turn.
Yep.
And he's going back and forth to make it as fair as can be, like sending a message, hey, you guys – guys, you're real even. We're going to give you and the next thing I look up and Bryce Petty's in the game. And I'm like, wow. So, yeah, that was quite a curveball on a full count.
Yeah.
Change up.
Yeah.
And
I think Gase said it in the comment. Right, the pre-snap penalties was another thing that I wanted to see if this team was going to come out and have 10 of them last night. You know, just bad, like, in the scrimmage or what we saw last season. And what do we think they had? Two? Was that, I think, two or three was the number?
Gotcha. Jumped off sides.
Yep, saw that.
Next to the football.
Mm-hmm. One of the offensive linemen late in the game had one of those.
And Osweiler.
Yeah, so there's probably three.
Osweiler. Yeah.
Unacceptable for the quarterback.
6'7", has three footballs batted down, which...
It's a weird one.
I will, and there's reasons we'll talk about later why that happens. But you know, listen, it shouldn't happen. That's, and then the second thing is, you've been around this league, you've got the time clock. Literally, you're down
like four different places.
You're
in the
down
field,
inside the 15, and it's looking right at you. It's all you should see through underneath the field goal post or right above it, straight ahead. And they get a delay of game there.
Yeah, not it's smart. Just, it's just not smart plays. They're stupid plays, really.
Yeah, that's... You know?
Trying to be nice about it and say not smart, but they're really dumb plays. You shouldn't have that, especially in that position. You're right. Midfield, it's still not smart to have it there, but when you get down, you know, into their almost red zone or in the red zone, don't have one of those plays. Don't knock yourself out of that. Like, don't be stupid.
It was your first play.
Yeah, don't be stupid.
Wasn't that the first play, if I'm not mistaken?
I mean,
was a delay of game.
Well, yeah, there's 14:40 on the clock when that happened. Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and you know what? They've kind of made this thing. They've really emphasized like pre-snap penalties. We don't want to line up either defensively in first and five, or on offense first and 15.
Yeah, you're not going to win a lot of games.
You don't want to have to overcome.
No.
Those are really hard to overcome. So anyway, a lot of different things going on last night. Like we said, I thought the pass coverage for the Dolphins defense was awful. The group of Tampa Bay quarterbacks, look at all of them. They look like we wanted to make sure all three of those guys were ready to go. And
they're gonna have good tape.
37 for 47, 326 yards. And there were a couple of broken coverages where. And when you always know it's a broken coverage, and I look at a safety looking at a corner, and they're looking at each other, and they're kind
of hands in the air.
Hey, man, that's you. No, that's your guy. You gotta take. And meanwhile, guys are open, and then in some cases, guys are too loose and didn't get a good break on the ball, and so it just it was not good enough for the pass coverage. Just not at all. The first drive. The cutback runs, I think there were three of them. And every time they cut back, it was just a huge hole. And there was nobody there. The tackles were – guy from the opposite side was having to come over and make a tackle. It seemed like 5-6 yards down the field before they got touched. And that can get – that stuff can all get cleaned up. But and then, of course, the other thing that is the lead story, and it overtakes the football game. No matter what the players say or anything else, Albert Wilson and Kenny Stills take a knee on the national anthem. And so you look nationally, and something everybody was looking for coming off of last year, and the policy that was put in place, taken out, put on hold, why the NFL and NFLPA try to figure something out, and good discussion, bad discussions, but all of a sudden, and here's the thing, and that no matter what those guys say and or do, that becomes the story instead of anything with the football game. That becomes the bigger story, taking the knee during the national anthem, and instead of talking about the football and who's good and who's bad. And so I'm guessing somebody, I already had messages last night, people asking, and I got to believe the Dolphins are going to sit down with Kenny and Albert and say, hey, we're gonna have to do what other teams are doing here. And maybe go to the
just
other
stay
policy.
In the locker room.
And I know they did it before they put this in. And the guy said, hey, I really don't like this. Kind of throws me out of my rhythm with the game. Well, then come out and stand or stay in there because, you know, it's been going on. People still don't – you can explain it to them. It has nothing to do with lack of respect for the national anthem. And people say, yes, it does. So it just goes back and forth, and so they're going to have to. I know Adam Gase is doing the coach, and I don't have time to worry about that, but he's going to – he and the front office and everybody else, they're going to have to do something because it does affect it because, Adam, you get asked about it.
Yeah, first
question.
And
you're going to continue to get asked about it. And nobody's talking about your football stuff, and meanwhile, the other guys that really have to hear about it are the guys – that work with season ticket holders and suite holders and fans that aren't happy with this whole thing. So anyway, I don't think they'll come down and come down and Jerry Jones them.
No, I don't think so either.
But they may have to go to the other policy.
They're going
to
have another discussion about something. It today, that's for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah, no, there's no question. Because when you look up and you're going, okay, well, everybody's talking about their games and who looked good, and the first story is the Dolphins and the protest and the preseason opener. So,
plus, you know, in the middle of the night last night, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid both put out tweets with pictures of Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a, it's just, it's
Kenny
it's,
with the picture with Kaepernick.
It's more than just, you know, what happened before the game.
Right.
It's going to be
totally away
piled
from,
on. Yeah.
Totally away from the preseason game.
Yeah, of course.
Kenny having a couple of catches to start before being taken out of the game.
Yeah, no one knows about that right now.
No, it becomes a whole different story. So, anyway, we got all that. And, of course, the other story coming out, and we'll get into all this stuff in the National Football League last night. Baker Mayfield and Antonio Callaway. Now you know why they keep him.
He's
really good.
I know this kid's got problems, and we talked about a lot of them yesterday. Problem after problem after problem. Can't get his foot out of trouble. He can't get out of trouble. But let me tell you, when he's actually on the field, and he's playing football in his element, he's really good.
Well, we're going to tell you more about his night, along with Baker Mayfield, and of course the awkward moment last night in the Bills and Carolina Panthers.
Oof.
Between former teammates that was very, very awkward. One of the more awkward moments you'll ever have before a preseason
Football's
game.
Back.
Yeah, we got a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of everything, and Tiger had to scramble to get back to par. How many shots is he back in the PGA Championship? We'll get you caught up on all that stuff. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment.
Radio.com.
It just happened that way. And if you guys pay attention while I'm on a knee, most of the time I'm praying. And thank God for having Albert next to me, man. You know, being a part of this protest hasn't been easy. You know, I thought I was going to be by myself out there. And today I had an angel with me, with Albert being out there. And, you know, I'm grateful that he sees what's happening and he wants to stand up and do something about it as well.
A good first step for us as a league would be acknowledging what they're doing to Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. You can't say as a league that you support the players and their protests and then blackball the players that initially started the protest.
All right, just beginning, right? First preseason game.
First preseason Kenny Stills game.
Just got started. Yeah. But here's the problem on a lot of the websites in ESPN with everything that took place in 12 games last night. Your lead story is the Dolphins.
The kneeling.
And the kneeling.
Yeah.
That's your lead story coming out.
Robert Quinn with his hand in the air, too. That was another thing.
I don't care about that. I mean, we got guys doing different things, but stand or other teams had a lot of guys in the locker room. I saw some teams had 4 and 5 guys that went in and then came out and everything else. And there's just got to be a better way. Got to be a better way to do this so that we can focus on X's and O's. And everything else. I know they're sticking up for a couple of guys that can't get jobs right now in the league and everything else. But by the way, we're still you know the president stuff's coming the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
And that just that just takes it to stirs it up to a new level, and that gets the owners going a little bit. So they're waiting on that, I'm sure, right now as well. As far as the football goes, last night though. And all the stories that are good, and how the young guys play, and the injured guys coming back, and everything else. Baker Mayfield had a couple of touchdowns, threw for 212 yards. Talked about Antonio Callaway.
Wow.
Amazing story, right? 3 catches, 87 yards. Had a chance to make some other catches in the game, but had a touchdown on a quick post pattern. Takes it 54 yards to the house.
Yep, he's pretty quick, that guy.
Dragged his feet, made a nice catch on the sideline. And this is, we were talking just a few days ago, like, man, what a great opportunity. Like, you know, you just got to get it together, got to get this thing figured out. And
well, he proved it last night. If he could stay on the field, they got a steal in the fourth round. The problem is he can't stay on the field.
Well, they got teased again, and he had to talk to the GM, and he talked to his head coach, and he had to apologize to the team. So they decide to let him. They're a little shorthanded, let him play, and they got teased. Can you imagine going home going, man, did you see that? That's why we put up with this stuff.
That's right.
Because he's got that kind of talent. Guy didn't even play last year. Just a amazing athletic talent if he can just keep it together, man. That was just another
teaser.
You
got to keep your head on straight and be smart, man.
We got to make you feel pretty good if you're the GM going, I took a chance on him. Now you know why I did it.
Oh, John Dorsey sitting back on fourth round, huh? Fourth round pick.
I do wonder if with all the security every team has now, if they don't like, hey, we got to
Des Bryant him.
I don't know if they want to go that far where they're literally picking him up at night, but checking in, get good guys around him, a guy you can trust that will give him a friend, tough love.
Like, you need something.
Yeah.
You need something.
To make sure. I saw he came out and said his brother was driving his car. I said, man, you and your brother are going to have a serious talk when you get back. I don't know what your brother's doing. Back here in South Florida and down in Miami, but you're playing in the NFL, man, and you got a lot at stake. And I'm talking green, which is important.
Bag of weed, gun parts, like what's going on in that car?
Yeah.
Like, come on. But by the way, in that same game, stay there for a second, talk good stuff. Number one overall pick in the draft, Baker Mayfield. Looked pretty good last night.
He did. He moved around. Yeah. I just saw his highlights early this morning. Hey, listen, he's a first-round overall pick. For a reason.
Yeah.
I think a lot of teams that not just who talked to him, but got to see him and the throws he makes. He ran for a first down. He's got good feel, keeping plays alive, slides around the pocket. He's got a lot of things. I know he's not 6'4", or 6'5", but really rolls inside the pocket. You know what I like? The guys, and Drew Brees does this, the shorter guys, because they have to. They roll. They slide in the pocket till they get throwing lanes, so they don't get their passes aren't getting batted. I mean, they're gonna have passes batted down, but
no,
not
of course
not 3 in a game.
Well, I mean, neither one of those guys you just said are 6'7" either.
But you're sliding around and you're moving your feet and you want to make sure and looking around and looking at the whole field and not zeroing in on one guy where. You got defensive linemen reading your eyes and the angle of your body and getting ready to put their arm up. I mean, there's some things you can do so that that stuff doesn't happen. But yeah, Baker,
some guys have that instinct.
Baker Mayfield looked good. Hey, let's get to the other story for a little soap opera here this morning.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about Kelvin Benjamin taking some strong shots in an interview about Cam Newton. And, you know, he wished it was just a horrible experience being in Carolina and playing with a quarterback that's just not accurate. I would have wanted to play with just about anybody else but Cam Newton, which surprised me. I mean, we hear receivers go after coaches and front offices and upset, right? But to hear a wide receiver go after a quarterback, your former quarterback.
It was weird.
Only T.O. is the only other guy I can think that's – I mean, it just doesn't happen a lot. I was trying to think of all the guys. But Cam Newton – and they got it all, if you haven't seen it. Cam Newton, who claims that, like, hey, man, doesn't bother me, whatever, you're gone. It bothered him.
Of course it did.
Because he went over before the game and
he confronted him.
Walked right up to Kelvin Benjamin, and it wasn't a joking matter. He just like, all right, man, what's up?
Well, there were some dudes standing there with Kelvin, probably a Bills guy. I don't know if it was a trainer or another.
No. That would be one of those all-pro linebackers.
Was that
Carolina.
Who it was? I didn't even, okay.
That was Davis.
And he basically said, give us a second.
Yeah.
Like, I got to talk to Kelvin
Benjamin.
He told
one of his best players, yeah. He goes, hey.
Back off.
Because Carolina's got great linebackers. Yeah. He goes, do you mind leaving? And
I didn't even know it was him. Wow.
And Davis kind of went, okay. So
yeah, this is going to get awkward.
He walks away. And they went at it. And
Cam got in his face.
Cam followed him for a second. And then finally Benjamin, like, didn't want anything to do with him. Like, hey, man, I got nothing. Like, whatever happened, Kelvin Benjamin really dislikes Cam Newton. I mean, there's got to be more to it than you didn't throw me enough footballs or something else had to happen. You know, like something got back to you that Cam was ripping Kelvin as a player and to get rid of. I mean, something to get in a situation. And I remember when they got rid of Kelvin Benjamin, when they traded him, Cam Newton was kind of upset. Like, man, I don't have a lot of guys to throw to.
That's right.
What are we doing? So I was a little surprised by the very awkward, right? By the way, 45 seconds worth.
Yeah. It was good, though. It's fun to watch.
And I'll tell you, Cam Newton was all business. And that whole thing. So they caught it. Everybody, one thing about it, everybody knew, like, uh-oh, he said some stuff about him that was kind of a big story. Here he comes. So the media before the game's all over.
Of course.
You got everybody kind of watching. Then you can even see players on different parts. They're
kind of looking up,
kind of looking like, ooh, this is.
Well, because it could have gotten ugly. Kelvin Benjamin said something stupid again. I'm assuming at that point Cam might have done something stupid also.
Well, some players would have jumped in, but you're right. I mean, something could have been said. Like,
I mean, Joe, the quarterback of a team, a guy who was a former MVP of this league, confronted the guy that just talked crap about him. That could have gotten ugly. It could have. Now, it didn't, obviously, and we're predicting something that didn't happen, but that I was a little bit shocked that Cam confronted him on the field like that. I was shocked that there was video of that. I was shocked that that happened.
I thought I just thought Cam would let it go.
Me too. I just thought he's like, whatever, big deal.
Okay.
He's gone. He's not on this team anymore. But just Cam, the schedule gods have, they play in the first preseason game. So, of course, something might happen.
Hey, listen, what Cam did a couple years ago
was nothing short of an unbelievable season.
I thought they're going to win the Super Bowl, too. I just thought that team – and what he did as a quarterback with that group of receivers, that wasn't the most talented group.
You know, their number one guy of a certain point
Teddy
was.
Ginn.
Yeah, Ted Ginn.
Who had a great year. Yeah, that was, Zach, that was a very, very strange story. We had so many different things taking place. And, of course, yesterday a lot of people on the Tiger watch the PGA Championship in the first round trying to figure out what Tiger would do, and he was able to actually, after getting off to just a horrible start, had a double bogey and a bogey, and you're going, oh, no, this is going to be bad. Able to fight back to even and finds himself six strokes behind Gary Woodland. Who?
Who?
Exactly. I'm guessing Gary Woodland, six under.
Yeah.
But what's the chance Gary Woodland's going to be there on Sunday?
Who?
Exactly. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I'm still waiting for someone to explain to me who this guy. I never heard of this guy before.
Oh no, he's been on the tour.
Yeah, still.
If you spend Saturdays and Sundays either watching NBC coverage of the PGA Tour
or
CBS,
don't do that.
You see Gary Woodland.
I wait for the Edwin Watts updates.
I'm embarrassed to tell you. I think he's. You'll have to look it up. I think he's from Sacramento.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks.
I try to keep track of
someone
guys
get
from
Rosa
Sacramento.
Ford on the phone.
Find out if Woodland, somebody will look it up going, yeah, he is, or Joe, you're wrong again. Woodland's not from Sacramento.
Maybe a texter could do that. We're not going to do that.
No. I didn't think you were. You know what?
I don't see anyone in the back.
It's really easy to do. We're not going to do
it. No. Usually you guys will get going on the computers back. I noticed nobody moved like you're on your own. Hey, listen, also just talking about some of the good things and bad things from the Dolphins 26-24 loss and what you take out of it where you're going, okay, that's good or bad. Can I give you number one thing as a group was the pass coverage, which some of it had to do with the pass rush, which was nowhere to be found.
There was no pass rush.
But the pass coverage was, and everybody, nobody got a hall pass. It was bad. Looked like there are a couple of broken coverages in there where you got guys looking at each other. Just not good to let Tampa Bay's three quarterbacks go 37 for 47 for 326 yards. So that was on top of my list for things last night.
It was last night.
I thought that group would be better. Can I give you the best part?
Yeah, I'm waiting
for
it.
Which I didn't think.
I need some positive.
The Dolphins' pass protection was unbelievable.
Yeah, I liked Gase's comment after the game.
It was pretty good, not only for Tannehill, but it was pretty good overall.
Yeah, I agree. And that's something we haven't seen in a while where we have a positive reaction from the offensive line after the game.
So – But that first group, Tannehill had time in the pocket to.
He had time to peel an orange. That's what Adam Gase said.
Is that what he said? All right. So we had that stuff last night. But yeah, that was as a group. Pass coverage, just man, every time they throw the ball and the pass rush got to get better. That was for all this. That's the deepest position. Now some guys didn't play a lot or didn't play at all, but.
Man. Not going to overreact too much from preseason game one, but you did point out something that did look bad last night. That pass coverage and that pass rush, there was none of either. There was none of either. So, yeah, there are some things to work on with this Dolphins team.
Oh, no, there's a lot of work to get done. And then I have the second thing besides when you look at groups that look good or look bad after we try to read into way too much stuff in the first 2 weeks of practice every day. On that, who's hot and who's not.
Trending up, trending down.
They haven't done. Yeah. Offensive line had their best. Like, okay, we might have overreacted to all that stuff and how the defensive line was dominating them and oh no. And
the O-line coach came out and said we stunk or we're bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, they looked a lot better, which was really good news. But on the other side, for the defense supposed to be dominating, and by the way, this is throughout the early guys that played as well as the guys at the end of the depth chart. Just didn't make any plays. Didn't even bat a lot of footballs down. Not enough at all. But let's talk about individual guys. Some guys jumped off the screen for you last night.
Well, we talked about it earlier, off the air also. I think just the – on the defensive
just the
side
TV.
Level.
I know not everybody's watching 11 guys and coaches go, well, you guys are wrong. Well, yeah, you guys got up close and you're watching guys that did their job nicely and
someone,
offensive line and everything else. But go
someone
ahead.
We haven't talked about a lot that was a pretty high draft pick for this team, linebacker, Jerome Baker.
Yep.
I told you that the only thing we talked about this guy when he came in here, all that you've seen from the beat writers where the guy looks small, he looks a little smaller than expected. Last night, I didn't see any of that. I saw a guy out there that was making plays that looked like he deserved to be out there. I like that because the linebacker core the last couple of years has been bad. They try to upgrade every year. Raekwon got hurt last year. By the way, Raekwon, nowhere to be found last night, but that's another story anyway. But Jerome Baker, I was surprised by that, and I was happy about that because I'd like to see a couple young linebackers out there with Kiko. And if Raekwon does show up and Jerome Baker does show up and Kiko's out there, I'm not worried about that linebacker core anymore.
I'll tell you, Jerome Baker can really run.
Yeah.
Right?
He's quick. He's quick out there.
He got out there, and he's a little smaller, but he can really, really run, and he helped himself. Can I tell you another guy? And again, I'm just trying to stay away from stats, but guy just Vincent Taylor.
He made some plays last night.
Got after it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, man. The guy's fourth defensive tackle right now, but – you play like that. That was pretty good stuff. And then the backs, were good till the fumble, except for the fumble. They were pretty good group.
Someone just texted in Perry and Balazs, like they're two guys.
Perry and Balazs look good. Sonoris Perry really can run, man.
He can
really run, but you know what? Unless Balazs just keeps fumbling. I mean, he jumped over a guy, made an athletic play, over a guy.
Pretty sick if he would have held onto the ball.
And it was going to be a first down, and the ball just go. But they're going to play him. I mean, they're not.
I think he surprised himself with the hop.
They're not going to build Belichick. No, he's really athletic for a big dude.
No, I'm saying because it's not. I don't think he got hit. There's no helmet that knocked that ball out. It kind of just looked like he hopped and he hit the only, like his own knee hit the ball out. Like that's what happened last night.
So anyway, that was a lot of everything from last night. We got to go to a break here. We're running a little bit late, but we'll go more into the Dolphins and talk more about everything going on.
I'm
going to
read some text messages coming up. Early text messages.
Oh, no. I figured it's always on a Friday. You know, you got to burn it up before we get our weekend off here on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022. So jump on in there, man. No matter what your day's like, pull over. Just getting up, just getting out of bed. Just kiss the wife, and now you're going, oh, honey, hold on. I got text those idiots in the morning. Something's been on my mind all night.
Ready for this? Trending up, trending down, who's hot, who's not after game one of the preseason. That's what I want to see.
But that's legit.
I know. I'm excited. We finally have something to talk about.
I know we miss a lot because every so often I have a coach go, well, you didn't see that. And I go, no, you're right. I said, I'm watching the TV guys that were trending up.
First text that just came in, something about the TV broadcast last night. We'll talk about that next.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, we're going to read some text here on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line 56022. What you saw in the game last night, what you liked, what you didn't like, broadcast stuff, everything. We'll take all of it today here. 56022. Let me read you a couple, Joe, that came in. All right. Joe, here's the first one. The TV booth with Nat Moore and the two grumpy old men was hilarious. That's the first one that comes in. I have a problem with last night's game. Oh, here we go. Actual football one. Fitzpatrick was wearing his ring during the game. Was he really? Minka Fitzpatrick was wearing a ring during the game? I didn't even notice that last night.
I did not see it.
That's not something I would notice.
Did not see
someone wearing a ring.
Did they show that on TV?
I guess they did.
Did a close-up. I didn't see that.
All right, here we go. A football one without a broadcast one in there. Let's not forget to mention how Tannehill killed that first drive with two passes off the mark. Unacceptable for a starter. Someone critiquing the first drive of the game.
I thought Ryan was fine. I just want to say this to everybody. That's the first time he's seen live bullets.
In almost 2 years.
In 20 games.
Almost two
this
calendar,
isn't
yeah.
some practice where nobody's going to touch you and people are going as hard as they were last night. So for him just to get his feet wet after missing 20 games. And by the way, he didn't have that many practices before he went down last year. So I think it was fine. Look, does he have to be ready to slide? He still needs to get hit and get knocked down He still needs that this preseason.
Yeah, to get hit that one time.
He needs to have somebody hit him pretty good and go, okay, I'm okay, I'm good. But he's got to slide around the pocket, and he's getting rid of it. That I love the way Adam Gase started the game with the bootleg, getting him outside the pocket. It's something he's comfortable
legs,
with.
Yep.
And then, for the most part, kept him in the pocket the rest of the time to go and get it. And you know, one other thing, too, before we get going here, and we'll get back to the text machine, is we got to get we got three games left, but this Devontae Parker, who's out on the field, we got it. They got to make it a point, Adam and Ryan,
to get him
to
involved.
Get him the ball. Have to. I get it. Albert Wilson's really good.
Yeah, he did look good, yeah.
He's good.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's a good player.
He didn't get that because they were, like, just feeling sorry and wanted to give money so he could come back home. And you know, Kenny can run, and he gets the whole thing, and Amendola's going to catch a bunch. They got to get the other guy going. The other guy,
involved.
Too many practices. You and I don't see him do anything. The little practice scrimmage thing, nothing. And then last night, I mean, Ryan, you got to find something where he can be your number one call for a play to throw it to him.
Mm.
That's got to get going here, hopefully in Carolina.
Let's see. When Tannehill got to the red zone, he looked a little tentative. What do you think about his decision-making last night?
I think all that stuff is going to get better. He looked down the field and he checked off and hit to Kenyon Drake and moved the chains. I just think he needed to, first of all, trust his offensive line, which I think after last night, I mean, you can't get a better pocket than he got, can you? He actually had time to step up in the pocket, and then you're right. He's got to get more accurate on some of those throws. No question.
Yeah, you just got to think that, right, at that point. Just got to get it involved, whatever it is. Ford looked good last night, but he looked good in preseason last year too.
Here's the other thing. Isaiah Ford, they like a lot, right? But that's at the end of the game, so how much you're going to put into the guys that they got a lot of receivers have been really good in preseason. Some of these guys were good last year, right?
Yeah.
Some of these guys were able to do pretty good group if you're trying to look good. I was saying this before the game. I go, man, if you're running with the twos or the two and the three combination for the rest of the game, one thing, if you're the quarterback, you got a pretty good group to throw to. When you start looking at Carew's been around, right, and Malcolm Lewis,
yep.
These guys aren't just like the first time they've been around.
No, you're right.
Been around and been on the practice squad, and it's a pretty good group to try to complete some passes to.
All right, here you go. Broadcast one for you, Joe. Since you don't get to watch a TV broadcast.
I got to see him. I looked up at one point on the monitor. And
well, you don't
I
get
saw,
to watch it because you're actually working, but the rest of us,
I did
you
see
know.
Tom Garfinkel. Was that halftime I saw
Garfinkel? Yeah, Tom Garfinkel was on there, and that's mentioned in this text here. Oh, my God, Dick Stockton must be getting closer to being senile, and Nat Moore went brain dead during the postgame broadcast, not to mention the awkward way he interviewed Tom Garfinkel. Garfinkel was interviewed by the guys who came up to the booth and spent some time with them. So I did watch it, and it was awkward.
Well, you did.
It was awkward. I saw it.
I'm just curious, knowing both guys, because Nat and Tom are real close.
Yeah, they talked about everything, the stadium stuff, and they talked about a couple of questions about the parking coming up because of the tennis courts and the new facility. And then Nat asked Tom a personnel question, which I thought was awkward anyway, because Tom's in a position of he's pretty high up on the food chain there with the Miami Dolphins, but he doesn't make player personnel. Yeah, I was trying to be nice and not beat his chest too much, but yeah, Tom is one of the highest out there besides Stephen Ross, but doesn't make player personnel decisions.
So what was the awkward moment? Because those guys know each other really well.
He
They're together
him
every day.
To give him a guy low on the roster, maybe closer to the 90 than the one or two that it's going to make the team. And Tom was in a position where if he gave a name out, it sounds like he's, hey, I think this guy should make the team.
So Nat asked him, give me a guy that you think might make this team.
Specific. Give me a name.
Ouch.
Of a guy, that you think, maybe a long shot, but it's going to make the team. And I felt a little bad for Tom at that moment because Nat was just kind of BSing and asking a question. But Nat didn't realize at that moment he put Tom in a position that Tom couldn't do anything about. I felt bad for Tom Garfinkel at that point, because if Tom would have said Joe Rose, the guy, the number 72 on the team, now it looks like
he doesn't make it.
And he doesn't make the team. Is that going to be a problem there? So Tom gave the very good answer of, well, that's not my job. I'm a football guy. I love football. I love the Miami Dolphins. I love the organization. He gave the nice political answer.
Like there's guys that do this every day. Like,
What this seemed like?
Did he say, hey, Chris Greer and Tannenbaum, and they take care of
that? Those guys make those decisions.
They'll
I'm
let you know who a guy they like it might make
You ever
it.
Been out to dinner with your wife and the other couple, and someone asks a question, and you kind of spit out an answer that your wife doesn't like, and you get kicked under the table? I would assume that if the cameras were not
all
on,
the time.
Garfinkel would have kicked Nat in the knee and said, stop. Let's go. Ask about the parking again. Ask about the parking.
So was it awkward afterwards after he said this?
No, Tom's a pro's pro, and he went on to the next thing, gave the political answer of, I'm not in that decision-making for the team. The personnel side does that. I'm a football guy. I love the Dolphins.
We had Tom on the other day. On a Saturday at Hard Rock, and he was just as a fan watching practice. And he was talking about, oh man, did you see the catches? He didn't talk about who's going to make the team or anything. He said, hey, we were talking about, by the way, I got to get into this too. But Mike Gesicki and gosh, Joe, this guy, every time we're out here, he's making these catches. Last night, Mike Gesicki is wide open.
Yep.
and David Fales.
Couldn't find him.
Mm. There's one throw, and I know Fales' numbers overall were pretty good.
Yeah, but that would have made it
better.
But
that's a red zone touchdown.
Yeah.
He is wide open, and to miss him, and you got to really – it was the worst throw he made.
That play, we've seen, me and you, in practice a couple times while we broadcast live from there, where Gesicki's jumping over a dude and catching it with one hand or just catching in the end zone. So, yeah. All right, more text coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. 5602.
Nobody's safe Toyota today.
And Wes Kendall Toyota. Nobody's safe. The broadcast teams aren't safe. The team isn't safe. We have a lot more text.
Football's
I'll get
back.
To them.
Nobody's safe today.
No. But football's back, so that's a good thing. And Friday. So
you know what? I totally agree. You can't really screw it up.
Well, unless you're kind of on the broadcast team.
But you really can't. It's Friday. Yeah. So it's still, I mean, tonight's still Friday night.
Correct.
Can't mess my Friday night. No. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.